I'm going to reopen the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and I'm actually going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 296. And since Beth is over there, I will remind folks that this bill extends the minimum distance between private hunting preserves. Beth, I am going to ask you to talk about, there was a question, and we got a clarification from LC, and I want to put that on the record. Because there was we did have somebody testify and wanted to make sure whether or not we needed an amendment. So yeah, can you just clarify that, please?
I believe he had two questions. One was the definition of person and whether it would cover an LLC. And I did talk to Legislative Council, and they assured me that it does. And then he also had a question about the applicability of the bill and whether or not it would affect a current license holder, and it does not. It is for those who do not currently have a license.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that I did open up a work session on Senate Bill 296. I'm not sure if I said work session. And with that, I will accept a motion on the bill.
Chair Dinkfelder, I move Senate Bill 296 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 296 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the bill? Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please. He's excused.
Aye.
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 Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Dinkfelder?
Aye. With that, the motion passes, and I think since Senator Ferrioli is the chief sponsor of this bill and he was asked to submit this by a constituent, we are going to request that Senator Ferrioli carry the bill, and Senator Olson, will you be the backup just in case reason he declines? Okay, with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 296, and we will open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 626. Beth?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 626 would direct the Department of Fish and Wildlife to study a program to develop and protect Oregon's unique angling opportunities entitled the Quality Fresh Waters Program. The program is directed to focus on fish management practices, fish research projects, protection and restoration of fish habitat, and enforcement efforts. The act would be repealed in 2014. There is no revenue impact, and we have not received any fiscal statements.
Okay, great. And we have a couple of the chief co-sponsors of the bill here, Senator Atkinson. You'd like to come up and say a few words. And then we have legislative assistant for Senator Morse, Laura Campbell. Welcome back.
Thank you. Oops. Go ahead.
Chair Dinkfelder, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Laura Campbell. I'm legislative assistant for Senator Morse. Other than what Beth just has said, the bill is pretty straightforward. This is a subject that's very near and dear to Senator Morse's heart. He's an avid fly fisherman. He'd like to see all these opportunities stay in Oregon if possible. I really appreciate you allowing me to appear on his behalf. He's chairing a committee right now, so he could not be here. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. But otherwise, I would then let the other gentlemen that are here on the bill that really know what they're talking about answer any questions that you have in regards to Senate Bill 626.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Senator Atkinson?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jason Atkinson. This bill actually builds off of two things. The first thing was the great success that we saw on the reestablishment of Diamond Lake as a major attraction, not only for tourism, but also for success in a restoration of a well-known fishing area. And many of us started talking at that time, once that project was complete, which took years and years and years, about having a blue water program. Last session, we formed a very loose organization of a fishing caucus, of which we are all those members, which we're always seeking more, but are all on this bill so far. And this bill builds off of what we learned last session and really comes to you with twofold areas. The first is what's in the bill. So can Oregon develop and study, unfortunately, but can we develop through that study a process of having the very best in freshwater angling? Secondly, which is more of a marketing tool for us, can we capitalize on the fact that in the West Coast we are the best fishing state? Now, I can say that that second portion, with some authority, and I'm sure the new Senator Olson would probably agree, but Oregon is very unique in terms of what we offer anglers, everywhere from someone's first fish, using a worm and egg or whatever, at something like Howard Prairie or a Hyatt Lake or a Diamond Lake, all the way up to arguably the finest steelheading in the lower 48, which would be in some places which I would never mention on the record, or some other river such as the Deschutes that everybody knows about. Or we have some of the finest and some of the finest literature that's been published on fishing over the last 60 years has happened on the Oregon coast. And it is an interesting community, but we are very diverse. Oregon isn't like an Iowa or Nebraska or even Texas for that matter. Oregon is five very distinctly different geographies in the confines of one state. So we have a coast, we have southern, we have the valley, we have central, and we have northeastern and eastern Oregon, who all are uniquely different. And those of us that are very keen on fishing and fish in other states know that Oregon is not nearly as competitive as it is in offering blue water, blue ribbon, that's the right phrase, experiences like other states. I will tell you that in the state of Montana, in the state of Idaho, I'm trying to think. I know in Colorado, but not so much. But in those first two states, this is a major component of an industry for them, is this type of experience. And so working with the good Senator Morris and Fast Freddy G-Rod and Senator Bates, we have built on the success last session, brought you Senate Bill 626, and a whole choir of people who are now singing from the same sheet behind me, who are going to come up here and regale you with beautiful words of support, bring you Senate Bill 626 for your hopeful passage. And Ms. Madam Chair, I'd be delighted to answer questions about my favorite topic.
Okay, we'll see if there are any. Any questions for this particular co-sponsor, or the co-sponsors of the bill? Senator Olson, you going to reel him in? Or
no, he's going to find out that good fishing hoe. I know where he's
That's
going.
Right.
I was going to say, Senator Olson, I know that you're not shy, would you like to ask a question?
Ms. Campbell, I'm not going to pick on you. Senator Atkinson, what bodies of water did you have in mind? And those bodies of water particularly, would it be from, say, the mouth of a river to the end of the river, or are there select areas?
I think, thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair. When Senator Morris and I and the rest of the co-sponsors from last session were looking at, we actually were looking at, and I think the department, Mr. Melcher, can be a better answer for this because it's not off the top of my tired and yet caffeinated brain. We were looking at several lakes that we would put into a blue ribbon type of program. And at that time, our idea was an increase in a fee, and that increase directly going into the establishment and maintenance of that that angling experience. Obviously, when you're talking about a river, river politics in our state are an entirely different kettle of fish, if you know what I mean. And so a still body of water is what we were looking at. I think the study, and given the broad nature of this bill now, a study will probably determine what would be the best location for something like that.
Follow-up? Senator, did you take into account, I assume that you're talking about, when you say freshwater, I assume you talked more of the cold water species rather than my warm water fishery?
No, we didn't.
Look at both?
We would like to look at both. I think as far as your beloved warm water fish, however invasive they might be, I don't think...
Am I going to have to mediate here?
I don't know, but I don't think that they are as well known as an angling experience. And far be it for me to tell on the public record where a young 8-year-old lad who lives in my house could probably catch 100 smallmouth in one day. But the point is that those experiences are available here in Oregon, not just on television.
Follow up. The one thing I wanted to mention, and you're probably aware of it, but we are very close to having world-class walleye fishing here. We have exceptional fishing in the river for very large walleye, and I just, you know, it would be good to take a look at that, maybe as an experience, because walleye fishermen come from all over the place to fish this quality fishery that we have. So it might be an opportunity to look at that.
I think that this is purposely written broad and for that reason. And you know, I think that you know we've got a very interesting freshwater marlin and freshwater tuna fishery that's developing. That Mr. Rollator's very familiar with, and we've also got some attempts to fish at night. But I know there's another fan of mine in the background who. Anyway, let me not go that far. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Last follow-up question. Senator, this bill would not, if enacted, would not put bodies of water off limits to all angling experiences, or would it?
No, thank you. This bill was simply just research to see if there are special places that should be set aside that would fit in the confines of a blue ribbon fishery. And certainly this is in no way a stop to access. If anything, this is an opportunity to have more anglers. The only thing that would be different that we have talked about that is not in this bill is would a blue ribbon area of sorts be treated differently than a general angling experience? And quite frankly, we don't know the answer. We tried that before. We ran into a brick wall, and so I don't know. But again, as I say, there's two components to it. One is what the bill says, and the other component, quite honestly, is marketing. Thank you very much for your time. I shall now leave you with far more eloquent people than I.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much. And tell Senator Morse we appreciate him sending you here. Yes. So with that, I would like to call up a bunch of fish heads, Jim Myron, Bob Olson, and Joe Rollator. I say that, of course, very fondly. I've worked with these fish heads for over a decade. Joe, you want to go first? Yeah, sure.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I'm here today representing the Mackenzie River Guides Association. Mackenzie River Guides represent second and third generation families of guides and outfitters. We fish all over the world. And, you know, Oregon really has some special places, and it has some really, really good potential. For instance, the Deschutes, the John Day, the lakes in the mid-coast, some of the bays, some small rivers that just have potential to be absolutely world-class places. As I see this study, it would look at those places and say, study the idea of what would be the limiting factors to making this a world-class area. Some of those places, I think, access, awareness, and in some places, just creating a fishable place. Like, for instance, putting in some large debris to hold the fish for long enough on an incoming tide that you'd have a shot at them for a few hours. And so those are the kinds of things that I expect the department would look at. And I think it would bring resources to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which they need. It would also bring resources to our rural economies, which we sure need. Having people come and stay in our area to fish. I live down on the Oregon coast, and we need every little bit of economic activity we can get. So the Mackenzie River Guides Association would like to go on record as supporting Senate Bill 626. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
Madam Chair, committee members, Bob Olson for Northwest Steel Headers. I'm also here to put our organization on the record in favor of this important legislation. We are supportive of this objective of developing a quality or trophy fishing opportunity here in Oregon. There, as you heard earlier from the senator, there are questions and possible plan components that need to be receive careful attention as we go forward. But this proposal will allow that to be done. Passage of the bill would lead to giving Oregonians and tourists more fishing opportunities, and that is important. Senate Bill 626 should lead to enhancing our reputation in the area of tourism, too. I personally see ODFW being involved in the, almost a countless number of worthwhile activities, and part of the message of this bill will send a signal that this is really an important activity that needs to be pursued and that there's a lot of support for, and so that's why we're in favor of this particular proposal. Again, I wanted to add to the record that Tom Wolf, I think, with Trout Unlimited, has submitted a statement to your committee. He's not able to be here today because of weather and other considerations, but I know you will receive that if you haven't already. Thank you.
And just for the record, it's in your packet, Tom Wolf's letter. Okay. Jim?
Thank you, Chair. Jim Felder and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Meyer, and I'm here representing the Native Fish Society. My written statement is being distributed. Most of what's in the written statement has already been covered pretty well by the previous speakers. Let me just say that in response to some of the questions that Senator Olson had earlier, when I met with Senator Morris last summer and we started thinking about what would be the best approach with this this concept this time around, unlike what happened 2 years ago where the bill actually designated certain streams and certain areas as blue ribbon fisheries, we decided it would be best to just leave that up to the department, and we anticipate that they will call together a group of interested folks to help them with compiling the information for this report so that there's some sort of consensus emerging out of the user groups as this report comes together. The last time around, it got into more of a debate over which places should or should not be included, and we didn't want to go through that again. So that's why it's written as broadly as it is. We're giving the department the discretion to pull together the information they need with and within these parameters of fish management, research, protection and restoration of habitat, and enforcement. Those are the components of what the program should include, and then a recommendation from the department as to where the funding should come from. Last time around, we had an increase in the out-of-state angler license fee to fund the program. That could be a component of it, but that'll be up to the department to decide as they put the report together.
Okay, questions?
So, thank you.
Absolutely. You normally have questions.
I look this way first.
That's
who knows
right. Anyone can answer this question. It's very notable program. The reservations I have, if ODFW comes back in and picks a section of, let's just say, the Nestucca River, and they want to make this a blue ribbon fishery, does this preclude Oregonians from going there?
Let me answer that one, Senator Olson, Chair Dingfelder. It's not our intent to establish regulations with this program or with the program. The regulation setting would still be in the hands of the Fish and Wildlife Commission through their annual process of designating different regulations on different streams. It's not the intent to exclude anybody or any type of fishing from any particular reach. So, we could anticipate that eventually if a particular section of a stream is designated, maybe it would be barbless hooks, but that would still be up to the department and the commission to make that decision. So,
fellow, I guess I'm getting this wrong. I guess I just need a clarification. This basically is a marketing technique. Is that what I'm a little off base here. I apologize. It's a marketing technique to tell the rest of the world that, look, that we've got these quality fisheries, and you guys need to come here, and we're putting these out here and purporting that these are wonderful fisheries. Come try them. Is that more like to what it is?
I would agree with that assessment, and what we would hope that the department would do is look particularly at where there are self-sustaining populations of fish right now that are healthy enough to support. It could be a consumptive harvest. It might be a catch-and-release harvest, but we want to be utilizing the healthy populations to support this fishery. We're not fishing on depleted populations.
Okay. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Questions on this end? Okay.
Senator Olson took care of my questions. Thanks.
Sure. Maybe we could move into hemp production then.
Well,
we did that last session.
We've already passed it. We just need to.
So I do have a question for you gentlemen, and it is sort of a follow-up to what my vice chair asked. I mean, when I read this bill, and you know, we worked on this last session and went down to Ways and Means, we did pass it out of this committee, if you recall. But this, to me, is more, as my vice chair said, this is more of a marketing or branding tool. And so one thing, and maybe I'll pose this to the department that seems to be missing, or maybe at some point bringing in Oregon, you know, tourism folks or whatever. What do we actually call it now?
Travel-Orient,
thank you. And you probably recall that several years back we passed a 1% sales tax. I've said it here, 1% tax on lodging to fund Travel Oregon. And so I was thinking that that could also be looked at as an opportunity, you know, to use that type of funding. I mean, since we're talking about boosting Oregon's economy, because the goal is to bring people in from out of state or different parts of the state to spend money in these areas, both for guides and equipment and you know, hotels and such, that I would think that we might want to include Travel Oregon as part of those discussions down the road. I don't know if it's something that needs to be added to this legislation or something just to be noted for possible discussion or inclusion if there's going to be a committee, because to me, it sounds like there's the component of, like you're saying, identifying the fisheries, but then there was the branding component and how you market this and get the word out. So.
Can I ask one follow-up? Will any of you folks be involved in this inaugural cruise ship, if you will, to determine what areas would be blue ribbon fisheries?
If I may, Senator Dinkfelder, Senator Olson, the three of us and maybe a half a dozen other people don't let the department do anything without us having our
okay.
And we don't always agree, but we're always willing to step up and offer our opinions.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was going to say, these gentlemen are not shy in sharing their opinions, so
thank
we appreciate that. So,
and thank you for your work.
Thank you all, gentlemen, for working on this during the interim, and I think we're going to call the department up here. We have Kurt Melcher from the department to close this hearing and say a few words. Everybody's leaving now, I see, so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. So, Kurt, appreciate you being here and hearing the perspective of the department.
Thank you, Chair Dinkfelder. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kurt Melcher, Deputy Director for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We do have some very brief written comments here, and I'll also be happy to answer any questions. I think the previous commenters clearly outlined what the bill does. The department internally, we've actually been talking about a blue ribbon or a quality waters program for a number of years. We talked about it prior to the 2009 session in the context or at the time, we decided not to bring that forward in that we were proposing large fee increase already, and particularly large one on non-residents. So we did not bring that forward at the time. But it's a concept that we think has merit. We do view it as a marketing tool. We really view this as a marketing tool to identify quality waters and allow both private sector individuals as well as us to market those. We have a close working relationship with Travel Oregon. We're working out with them on a number of projects already, and certainly would continue to work with them on any marketing of quality waters program. We do, and I would note also, we appreciate that the bill asks us to come back with options, and to come back to this body with options in the future, and including funding options. And it's been mentioned that there should be an increase in non-resident angling fees to compensate, or at least for anglers that fish in these areas. There may be other options as well, and we'd want to have a thorough discussion to be able to bring those alternatives back to you. We appreciate that this bill gives us the cover to be discussing fee increases as opposed to just an agency out there proposing fee increases on our own.
Thank you, Kurt.
Happy to answer any questions. I think Senator Olson is absolutely correct. There are many quality waters or blue ribbon fisheries in the state of Oregon that maybe don't meet the traditional fishery sense in that they're not native species, but walleye truly are. I would argue it's a world-class fishery in the Columbia. Large walleye, relatively common. So, happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions?
No, of course. Mr. Melcher, first I want to try to put you on the spot. In your fish management practices, would this, if we found, my concern is if we found an excellent body of water, let's just call it Clear Lake, and it has trophy fishery, as all fishermen know, when fishing gets really good, everybody goes there. How would you maintain that trophy stuff? Because as larger fish are taken out, that's stock for broodstock for bigger fish. How would you maintain that and manage that system?
Sure. Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson. So certainly we will have to have an eye on individual water body specific population dynamics. And in a situation where if it's a fully self-sustaining non-hatchery lake, we would have to keep a close eye on escapement and broodstock. We would use our traditional management approaches, whether those be catch and release regulations only, size limits, bag limits. Management practices also would include in a situation like Diamond Lake, where we had to do a chemical treatment to rid the lake of invasive tui chub, and then restocking the lake with rainbow trout. So I think management practices covers all the traditional activities that we do.
Follow up. Okay, this is really going to get you. Since you state in here that the protection and restoration of fish habitat and fish management practices, how will Senate Bill 626 fly with Senate Bill 603, which removes management practices for warm water species, if in fact we have a world-class walleye fishery?
Yeah. Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson, I think if both bills were to pass, then clearly this bill would, this quality waters bill, would then not apply to those non-native fisheries. That would be our interpretation.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks.
Anybody else that would like to testify on this bill before we close the public hearing? Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 626. Beth, anything else for the good of the order?
Nope, that's it.
So with the weather, I guess, of which now it's sunny.
Yep.
With that, we will close the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. We'll see you all next Tuesday.